Welcome to the Mana Church Stafford Podcast, where we're all about equipping God's people to change their world. We are thankful you are here and pray this message encourages you to love God, love others, and love the world more fervently than before. Now, let's get to it.
Transition now into a time of teaching, and we've got a special speaker here. His name's Ben Goodman. I have known him for about 3 years, and I met him at a really kind of tumultuous time in my own life where I was trying to figure out, like, am I going to be business guy Jake or pastor guy Jake? And he is someone who he's well known in the, you know, Christian community. He's got lots of cool things that he's done. He's on the apostolic lead team for several organizations, one in Minnesota, another one in Taiwan. He and I talk at least once every other week. We spend about an hour on a Zoom call just checking in, and he's always somewhere. But he's on staff right now in Fayetteville as their leadership development director. And he also functions, if you ask anybody there in Fayetteville, like, hey, what's Ben do? They're like, oh, Ben's our prophet. Like, Ben's the guy, man. He hears from God for us, and he's somebody that I can just tell you that I have personally trusted to hear from God for me and to minister to me, and he's been such a great resource. Yesterday, I got him with some of our team, and he just did that for them. He heard from God for them and ministered to them. That's what I try to do on Sunday mornings for you guys, is hear from the Lord. What's he saying? So that way, I can deliver it to you, and I know that he spent time praying and just asking God what it is that he would say to Mana Church Stafford. He also is one of our overseers, so I have three overseers who I'm accountable to, and we put those in place because we just feel like that's healthy to have accountability. And so he's one of the guys that I just trust him. And so I hope that you guys can encourage him, and we could just trust him today to deliver a good word from the Lord for us. Can you guys just give a clap to the Lord and welcome Ben up here to the stage?
I really had a great message for you guys out of the book of Joshua. And then, middle of yesterday afternoon, I'm going, maybe another time. So I had to scramble around, and well, God was pushing me in another direction. At least I felt he was. So this is sort of fresh off the press. I just came back from Israel. And when we were walking around, I'd been there like 7 times, and it's not like it's ho-hum, but after you get past the touristy thing, you start looking at, you know, some deeper things. And as we were walking around Jerusalem, especially in the old city, I had this, you know, what would it have been like to walk with Jesus? And just actually see him do what he does, listen to what he says. And I just got maybe a better insight. The things that struck me. You know, I'm walking around Jerusalem, and scripture's coming to me, and there's something very powerful, by the way. When you read the Gospels, you can imagine what would it be like you being there, and you watch Lazarus raised from the dead. Just imagine that, and the Holy Spirit will use that just to stir you up a bit. So in the same way, I'm just walking through the old city of Jerusalem, and I start thinking about Jesus. Not really super spiritual, but about Jesus. And it occurred to me that Jesus, when he talked, when he spoke to people, he was loving. There was a kindness to him, right? But he wasn't nice. You know what I mean? Like, I have 3 daughters, and sometimes when they haven't seen each other all day and they come back at the end of the day, they go, ooh, you know, that kind of thing, that nice, oh, you know. Jesus wasn't like that. There was a kindness and a love to him, but, like, he wasn't nice. And he wasn't entertaining. By that, I mean, he didn't, you know, try to present himself in such a way where he goes, here, like, I'm really excited. I'm glad to see you. And your emotional state is more important than any truth I have to say. So if you will just follow me, I'll be so happy and so will you. There was no entertainment. There was no schmooze. There was no smoke in the background, all that. I'm not criticizing any of that directly. But there's something about, he went right to it. And it was challenging, but it was also empowering. And it was awe-inspiring. Am I setting you up? Yes. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus, you know, he's talked to his leaders, and he's planning out the next thing. And he goes, okay, I'm going to go on a teaching and preaching tour in Galilee. All right? So they huddled up, break, they went their separate ways. And, you know, in Galilee, John the Baptist had already been there. Some of the disciples had already been there. And they were preaching about Jesus. They were preaching about the kingdom of God. And Jesus is sort of, he's just circling around, and he's going to come and speak to this crowd. Now, this crowd, yeah, imagine being in the crowd. Imagine being there, and you've heard about Jesus. People have talked about Jesus. And you're excited about, oh, now you get to see the guy. And you know what he's capable of doing, and everybody's really excited, and everybody's in a different place. Some people are, you know, very spiritually, you know, mature. Other people have no clue. Some people are broken. Some people are in the middle of a divorce. Some people have a lot of money. Some people don't. You know, it's just the cross-section of humanity. Imagine being in that crowd, and you're part of the cross-section of humanity. And, you know, drum roll, Jesus shows up. And you'd expect him to be pretty excited. But he starts right off, and there's a paraphrase. He goes, you know, glad you're here, but I just want to let you know. The message that you think you know, you really don't know it. You have not gotten the message. I've sent John the Baptist. I've sent my disciples. They've given you the message, and you think you know the message. You think you're wise and learned about the message. You think you got it, but you don't have it yet. He even said, look, we played the flute for you. You didn't dance. We sang a dirge, but you didn't mourn. In other words, we gave you the message. You think you have it, but your response, how you live, you really don't have it. Imagine being in that crowd. And you hear that, and you're going, dang, he doesn't want to be popular, does he? Then he even goes, he started rebuking cities. He goes, some of the things that I've done amongst you, if I had done, I've done them in other cities. And when I did cool things in other cities, it turned whole cities around. But I've done some of the same things around here, and it's like, ho-hum, we have a miracle, and isn't it good that Jesus blesses? He's just going, you don't have the message. Then in the middle of that, he stops and prays. Now, normally that's an odd thing. Imagine having a conversation with someone in Walmart. Hey, how you doing? Where are you from? Da-da-da. And in the middle of it, they go, yes, Lord. Hello. You know, that's sort of crazy, that kind of transition. Well, that's what Jesus did. Jesus is laying it on these people, and then he stops and he says this, Father, you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this was well-pleasing to you. Now this is another turn. Hey, listen, you think you got the message, but really you don't have the message, and it's God's plan that you don't quite have the message. Welcome to the kingdom. Well, God's ways are just so funny. Look, you're not getting it. That's all right. It's part of the plan. Now he's got their attention. Imagine being in that crowd, and you're just pushed one way. Now you're pushed another, and you're going, now you're listening to him. Jesus has their attention. And then he says these words, and this is in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. This portion of Scripture, the heathen know. It's one of the most popular scriptures. I have used it for altar calls dozens and dozens of times because it's such a powerful scripture. But put it in context, Jesus said, you don't have the message. You sort of do, but you really don't have the message. And it's part of the plan. Now I'm going to speak directly to you. I'm not sending anybody. I'm telling you, I'm going to give you the message. And this is what he says. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, especially in America, when we preach on it, when we talk about it, it's one of those, life is hard, we struggle with so many things. Come to Jesus and everything will be okay. And at a certain level, that's true. That's true. But there's so much more going on in this scripture. And the people at that time, they had a greater grip on what Jesus was saying than maybe we do. We actually think that when Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest and take my yoke upon you, it's sort of like a continuation. And I'm just submitting it to you. Two very separate things. Jesus is talking about come to him so he can minister to you. And then the next one, take my yoke, is look, I'll minister to you, but I'd much rather teach you how to live. And it's that second part that make people go, argh. Anyway, I'm going to just break it down. Come to me, side note. This sounds like an invitation, and it's sort of an invitation, but actually it's a command. Any of you have kids? Sure. And your kids are playing the music too loud. And rather than having a ruckus, what you go is, hey, sweetheart, could you just turn it down a little bit? Now, it sounds like an invitation. It sounds like a request. But everybody in that room knows that's a command, right? That this can escalate. But it's come to me. Jesus is looking at all these people. They've got all their burdens. They don't yet have the message. And they're probably, okay, now you're going to give us the message. And he just turns it up on them. He goes, come to me. Well, we're here. No. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. This is a fascinating thing, what Jesus is saying. He's saying, as is, you got issues, you got so many things going on in you, and that's one of the reasons why you don't quite have the message. Just come to me. I'm not even going to beat you up with what you're carrying. No questions asked. Come to me, you who are weary and heavily burdened. Here's some burdens. Again, imagine you're in the crowd. You could just be someone who's confused about life, about direction. What should I do? Discouraged. You had some dreams, and they blew up. Or you want to have a good life, but there's another part of you that sort of likes sin, so you're living two lives, and it's just eating you up. You're just conflicted. You like something, and you hate it. Should we go here? Should I stay in this job? Just inner conflict. Some people, they want to follow God, but they do it using the wisdom of the world. Oh my gosh, that'll mess you up. A lot of the people there, they were religious. Not in some derogatory way, but they were religious. They were doing everything they could to be good. They were doing everything they could to be good. And as a corollary, they're doing everything they could to earn God's favor. And then, of course, there are people who just have a lot of pain, a lot of anger. Imagine being in that crowd. And Jesus says, whatever you're carrying, come to me, and I will give you rest. This word rest anapauso. There will be a test after this. It's what it means is a refreshing, a relief, a breather. David, when he was getting chased by Saul, full of anxiety, betrayed, abandoned, he's running for his life. And then he went into a cave, and he was safe so he could think straight. So there's just a little bit of reset do-over in his life. Jesus is saying, look, as is, you come to me. Do not try to fix yourself. Don't just wait for my latest teaching. Come to me, and I'll give you a breather. I'll give you a rest. I myself will minister to you, and my touch will make a big difference. My touch will make the difference. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Yes, there will be an opportunity for us to come to Jesus just so he can give us rest. But then Jesus, he goes, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now this is, it sounds like an invitation, and it is sort of an invitation, but it's another command, and I'm telling you, it's a different command. The first one is come to me as is, and I'll start ministering to you. This is the gospel. Religion says, let's get ourselves fixed so that we can come to God. God's saying, you just bring yourself to me, and I'll sort it out. That's the gospel. If you're trying to get things, get yourself good enough, you know, comfortable enough, peaceful enough, so you can come to God. Wear your spiritual Sunday best so you can come to God. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. It's sincere, but it's religious. But if you take your nasty, bad self and drag your nasty, bad self without even knowing all the things you're dragging, you bring that to Jesus, he'll let you come in and he'll start sorting it out. He will give you rest, okay? And this is where we usually stop. Oh, Jesus, give me rest. Minister to me, heal me. And I'm not even going to say that's selfish. That's just wise, right? But Jesus doesn't just want to give us rest. He doesn't want to just fix our problems. There's a whole other life that he has for us. And that life comes when we take his yoke upon us and we start learning from me. Now, these people back then, when he said, take my yoke upon you, they immediately had two ideas of what Jesus was talking about. Here's the first one. If you wanted to train a young oxen, big, strong oxen that's never pulled anything, what you do is you take a big yoke and yoke this young oxen to an old, much stronger oxen. And then whoever's driving the oxen, he just tells the older one what to do and tracks the younger one around. Imagine being a young oxen. You're just used to running around and eating and getting pet by, you know, the farmer and all that. But now it's like, okay, it's time to work. And you're yoked with someone bigger, stronger, more experienced, and it's time to move. And this thing goes here, and you're going, wait a second, where are you taking me? That's what you would do if you were a young oxen. And they go, okay, take my yoke upon you. Wow, geez, that's sort of harsh. Like, that's uncomfortable. That poor young oxen. I mean, that's, you know, where's the freedom in that? But there was another illustration that really hit home in that culture. Back in the day, if you were, you know, in that place where you're not quite a young man, you're more like an old kid, it's just in the middle, right? Like maybe you're 20 years old and you've decided to stop playing video games, you know, that kind of thing. But you're not quite there, just in that tweener year, and you decide, listen, I want to grow as a man, I want to grow in stature, I want to get some really great learning and opportunities. I want to develop my character and my standing before God and before the community. And what a young man would do is, of course, he was part of a synagogue. What he'd do is he'd sort of get up close to maybe his favorite rabbi, and he'd make like an application. He said, would you be my rabbi? Now, that request implied a couple things. Like, if you'll be my rabbi, I'll serve you. That was one. But the other one was, if you'll be my rabbi, I want you to teach me. And I want you to teach me these things. I want you to teach me how to think. I want you to teach you, I want you to teach me how to behave. I want you to teach me how to feel, how to manage my emotions. And I want you to teach me how to see things, get the right perspective. And not only that, if you're going to be my rabbi, I want to serve you, I want you to teach me all these things, and what you teach me will have authority over my own opinions and the opinions of my culture. That's what he was saying. And so the rabbi, you know, would go, let me pray about it. Some of you don't know any Jewish jokes. We're in the South. You still think all Jewish people are like, yeah, you know, and everyone loves Raymond, you know, his mother. Yeah. Anyway. So if the rabbi says, sure, I'll be your rabbi. That relationship, the young man is yoked with the rabbi. So Jesus is saying, y'all got a lot of issues. I love you. I'm not going to sort it out. I'm not going to beat you up. First thing, come to me. Let me minister to you. Let me bring myself to your situation. Don't fix yourself. Let me fix you. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. But wait, there's more. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, everybody's excited about that first part. We'll come to Jesus. He'll touch us. Wait a second. What you're basically is, you know, you're inviting us, but you're actually commanding us to make you a rabbi. That, wait a second, in the first one, you're serving us, but now we're going, okay, I want to serve you. And I want to learn from you how to think. I want to learn from you how to manage my emotions. I want to learn from you how to live, how to behave. I want to learn from you how to see things from your perspective. And what you say trumps anything, no political thing intended. It has authority over my best ideas and the best ideas of my culture. So this, now the crowd's going, oh, the cheeks are getting squeezed together. Oh my gosh, this guy, what is he commanding us? Thank you, voice in the darkness, laughing at my inappropriate humor. But amen. Thank you, Chris. I agree with that agreement. Anyway. So, yeah, but it's, never mind. So Jesus, he's going, it's a command, a nice command, an invitation that's really a command. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Whoa, it's a new ball game. Jesus is saying, one of the reasons why you have the issues that you have is, you know, who's teaching you? What yokes are you carrying? Are you trying to carry two or three yokes? Jesus is basically saying, hey, who's your rabbi? Is that working out for you? Who's teaching has ultimate authority in your life? Who's your rabbi? And most everybody in the crowd was going, I'm my own rabbi. You know, I like this teaching. I love the Psalms because it comforts me. But the idea of tithing, I don't know. I'm not really comfortable with that. It's just really amazing. All the different yokes that are in the crowd. Imagine being in that crowd and hear Jesus say, look, come to me, I'll minister to you. You'll applaud. But then he goes, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Mm. It's like you're not cattle, but voluntarily going, okay, I'll be yoked to you, oxen Jesus. I'll get in there, and I don't think I'm going to like this. Because how you do things and where you go is probably a little different from me. You get the idea. Imagine being in that crowd. I know what I would be doing. I'd be going, where's the freedom in that? Like, that sounds sort of restrictive, you know? I mean, I love America. I love America. But there's this, that's not American, you know, just enslaving yourself to someone else, that someone else's words have authority over you. Biblically, there's a human idea of freedom. The human idea of freedom says, I get to choose whatever I want to choose without fear of resistance, pushback, or consequence. No criticism. I get to choose, and I am a walking, talking, safe space. I get to self-identify as a three-legged giraffe. Right. Now, the radical human freedom, and when we say restriction is bad, but the thing is, the Bible says, you know, that kind of freedom actually is a fantasy. It's a fantasy. We're going to be enslaved to something. We'll be enslaved to our past. We'll be enslaved to ourselves. We'll be enslaved to our kids' soccer schedule. We'll be enslaved to something, right? And Jesus says that we'll be a slave. This is in Romans. We will be a slave to what we obey. So the issue is not whether or not we're free or slave. The real issue is, to what are we enslaved? And when we are enslaved to Jesus, yoked with Jesus, the freedom that our hearts are designed to experience, we get it when we're submitted to Him. That's where we're designed to experience real freedom when we do it that way. I give you a million scriptures, but one would work. John chapter 8, verse 31. He says, look, take my teaching and put them into practice. Don't just agree with them. Put them into practice. It'll be hard, but if you wrestle with it, put it into practice, then you're my disciples. And then you'll know the truth. Like, you'll experience the truth the way it's supposed to be experienced. Then you'll be free. So, I'd be so restricted. Just pick your restriction. Which restriction gives you life? Here's another one. Here's a guy who says, let me teach you and let my words have authority over your best ideas. And you go, well, gosh, that's brainwashing. Ooh, yeah, I don't like that. That's brainwashing. I have a really good story, but I want to be good with the time here. So I won't tell the story, but I will. Here's the bottom line to that story. Listen, the issue is not whether or not you're brainwashed. The issue is, what do you wash your brain with? I will repeat that. The issue is not whether or not you're brainwashed. What do you wash your brain with? And Jesus is sitting there, let me wash your brain. Take my yoke and let me teach you. Learn from me. And it's not an all or nothing thing. It's not going to say, know everything, otherwise it stinks being you. That's not what Jesus is saying. Take my yoke and let me teach you how to think. Let me teach you how to feel. Let me teach you how to live. Let me teach you how to think. It's a process. Do that. In other words, let me brainwash you. Let me transform you by the renewing of your mind. Which, by the way, is in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We all have, it's like we have a closet of yokes, right? Well, for this, this is going to have authority. And for this thing, this will have authority as if we get to choose who our rabbis are. And in a way, we can. But Jesus is sitting there going, come to me, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Very exclusive command. It doesn't mean we become stupid. It doesn't mean that we don't get information from a wide variety of sources and all that sort of stuff. But when the very best thinking of the world, and our very best ideas, most sincere, impassioned ideas, when they conflict with the clear teaching of Scripture, guess who should win? Probably Jesus, for a whole bunch of reasons, one of which is he's God. Just saying. He knows stuff. Oh, and another, he died for us. None of the ideologies out there have people who will die for you. None of them. They won't die for you. They might kill you, but they won't die for you. So we all have all these reactions. Jesus is saying, just get in my yoke, and you're going to strain, but if you stick with me, you'll have a much better life. You won't be in the crowd just carrying your stuff. And then he follows it with this. You know, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Again, imagine being in the crowd. If I were in the crowd, I'd go, wow, that was a profound command you gave us. You're gentle and humble in heart? Excuse me, I don't think so. For a guy to talk to the cross-section of humanity, go, hey, listen, come to me and I'll heal you. I'll minister to you. I'll change your life. Just come to me. My touch will transform you. Come to me. Oh, and now take my yoke, like, and serve me. Don't be serving you. Serve me, and may my words have authority to teach you how to think, how to act, how to manage your emotions, and how to see. Come do that, and then right after they go, I'm humble, and I'm gentle. No way. I'd go, you are an arrogant rabbi. Who do you think you are? Which is really the question, isn't it? The guy making this command is not just your average rabbi. He's God. He's got a leg up on any rabbi, any source of knowledge, any source of wisdom, any passionate feeling you may have. He's got a leg up on it. He happens to be God. But you won't know how humble and gentle he really is until you put his yoke upon you. Let me explain. Let's say you're battling unforgiveness. And Jesus said, look, put my yoke upon you and just, you know, obey me. Just do it. Forgive. And you, it's really hard. And you try it. Every time you see them, you have to forgive them again. And it's just harder and harder. But you just keep on doing it. You keep on doing it. You're just going against the yoke. You keep on doing it. And, you know, eventually something happens in your soul, and the next time you see them, it's not awkward in your soul. That whole process, never once does Jesus beat you up for your struggle. Never once does he go, is that all you got? Come on. You're a Christian. You should have this done by now. Jesus puts us in a place where we don't like it. But if we keep on going, he's gentle. He's humble in heart. He's encouraging. He doesn't say how bad we were. He keeps on saying how good we're going to be. It's just an amazing thing. Now, the principle here is you actually can't experience the person of Jesus without first obeying him. Amen. You think, oh, that's too strong. Look, you have no idea what it is to be truly forgiven by Jesus until you repent and obey the call to come to God. Yeah, yeah. When you respond to the altar call that comes from Jesus, it's hard, it's difficult, and you want to be forgiven, but you have no idea what it is you're going to experience until you give it up, until you give up your past, present, and future to Jesus, until you just sign away the ownership of your life. Until you do that, forgiveness is just a really cool idea. But then when you make the transaction and you experience, you go, oh my gosh, this is not just forgiveness. This is forgiveness. Capital letters. I'm not just forgiven. I'm changed. You don't know what that's like until you obey. You won't experience Jesus' gentleness, his humility, his encouragement until you put his yoke on. And he's not a slave driver. He's not going to whip you. He'll lead you. He'll encourage you. He'll feed you along the way. And then he says this, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, you know what got this portion of scripture, got my attention? In the beginning, Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. It's like an impartation. It's ministry. It's a commodity that Jesus gives. I'll give you my power. I'll give you my healing power. I'll refresh you. After all this, he says, if you take my yoke and learn from me, and that whole process, you will find rest. I'm originally from New Jersey, and we don't trust anybody, right? And I'm looking at this, I go, Jesus, even you did a bait and switch. Here, come here, I'll give you rest. Not really. If you go through all this, then you'll find rest. That's how I'm going, how do you put these things, two things together, Jesus? Thankfully, I didn't stop there. That word, I will give you rest, anapazo, it's a refreshing, it's a touch, it's a relief, it's a breather, it's an impartation. The rest here is slightly different. It's anapazine. Don't worry about it. And this rest, it's a ceasing from striving. It's a ceasing from trying really hard according to your own wits and your own strength. Doesn't mean you're just lazy, but it means I'm gonna stop trying to live my life in my own strength according to my own ideas. If I put the yoke upon Jesus, over time, you'll find rest. Now, what's interesting, I did a little digging. There's two sides to this kind of rest. When you cease striving in your own strength to pursue your calling, to just overcome things. The other side is, when you give that up, there's a supernatural, I want to say energy, kind of sustained strength that doesn't come from you anymore. It's a sustained strength that comes from God. When we just sort of, okay, I'm going to try hard not to try to get your love. I'm just going to do what you want. What comes behind it is this sustaining supernatural strength of vitality. It's something that's transformative. It's not just an improvement on you. It's other. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but Jesus is saying, not only will you find rest, but you will find rest for your souls. Let's see the people. Okay, Jake, you're a person. Your soul is a little different than mine. And brother, sister, your souls are different from his and from mine. Each of us have different souls, right? God has created us with different personalities, talents, abilities, perspectives, capacities. He's just created us really different. We all have souls, but we don't have identical souls. We all have callings, but we don't have identical callings. Do you see what Jesus is saying? You put your yoke upon me, and you'll find rest. You'll find lack of striving, but also you'll find energy for your souls, for the development of who God had created you to be. You will find rest for your soul. You'll have the energy and the perseverance and the stick-to-itiveness and the trust. You will have that so you can actually live out why you're here on planet Earth. You can't experience the fullness of how God created you. You can't experience the fullness of why you are here on planet Earth unless you're willing to take the yoke of the Lord upon you. When you do, you will find rest for your souls. And then he ends with this. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Imagine being in that crowd. I can. And I go, all right, I get what you're saying. It's a process. But man, it's going to be painful. Because, you know, Jesus, your ways and your words, they're not comfortable. They cut against my nature, my past, my culture. They just cut against it. And you know, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is always taking the long game. He's always doing the long game. He's not into quick fixes. And he really means to say, you take my yoke, after a while you will find out that compared to whatever else you could be carrying, my yoke's easy and my burden is light. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, it says, this is love for God. To obey his commands, in other words, take his yoke upon us, all right? And his commands are not burdensome. Our soul says that's not true. I mean, imagine, you know, you're some pretty Christian lady. Jake, don't do that. No, and you just go, oh, I just want to love and be loved and to have a good Christian thing. You know, good expectations. And there is this absolutely drop-dead cute guy. His hair is nice. He's wearing Christian stuff. And he's about as saved as an Easter egg, okay? But the good news is that this guy likes her. And she goes, well, we love each other. And he goes to church with me. And it's just really, even though Jesus is saying, don't be yoked with an unbeliever, don't do it. And in the short run, the idea of not having a hot boyfriend, it's like, oh, what a bummer, what a burden. Jesus is such a killjoy. You know, that kind of thing. You know, where's the fun in you, Jesus? Where's the joy, right? Well, in the short run, you get to kiss like you mean it. In the long run, it's a burden. Here's another one. Oh, I know I should forgive, but it's so hard. What they did and what they should have done, but they didn't do, it is so hard. And I'm not minimizing any of this. But yeah, look, when I'm ready, and I ain't ready now, maybe. But unforgiveness usually takes a root pretty quick. And unforgiveness that has a root is bitterness. And it's like a virus on a hard drive. They always grow. Scripture says that the root of bitterness will defile many, not just you, but those in your sphere of influence. In the short term, it's easier just to manage your stuff. But in the long run, it'll bite you. It'll bite the people you say you love. It'll bite your kids. Choosing to forgive in the short run, it's hard. In the long run, wow, this is the way to live. His yoke, it is easy. His burden is light. Here's another one. I go to church, and you know, I believe in the big guy upstairs, and you know, all this stuff about Jesus. Yeah, I get it, and I know it's true, but you know, I got some things to do, and besides, I got friends who would make fun of me. But, you know, look, I'm just going to stick around. Maybe it'll rub off on me, and, you know, one day I'll finally give it up. You know, and I understand that. And then you go into the parking lot, and, you know, someone in a van just runs over you, and you're dead, okay? And, you know, when you die without Jesus, and you sort of wake up, if that's an experience, guess where you're not? Okay, so there you are in hell. That's a burden. That's a heavy burden. And Jesus is sitting there going, look, take my yoke. Transfer ownership papers from you to me, right? And in the long run, for eternity, you'll find out that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is always taking the long view. So he talks to this crowd and he goes, listen, you got stuff, I'm not going to beat you up about it. Come to me and let me minister to you. And then take your yoke upon me, and then you will have everything you need to become who you're called to be and to accomplish the purposes that I've had for you even before you were born. That's how, and in the long run, that's an easy, light yoke. So here's the question. How do I know if I'm wearing his yoke? Don't get religious going, well, I can't do everything all at once. That's not the point. That young ox didn't go along with everything, especially in the beginning. The issue is whether you're wearing it or not. And this is the test. If the latest ideology or your deepest passion or your sincere lived experience, oh gosh, you have no idea, right? If they conflict with the clear teaching of Scripture, if they conflict with what Jesus is saying, if you have the yoke of the Lord, number one, you'll feel the conflict. If you don't have the yoke of the Lord, you don't feel the conflict. But you feel the conflict. And if you really have the yoke of the Lord, you don't get rid of the thing. What you do is you yield. You go, Lord, I yield my way. Teach me your way. Learning how to yield. Like that ox, after a while, has to learn how to yield. We're not oxen. What's really noticeable about Jesus is that he commands us to put on his yoke. He does not impose it on us. He doesn't make it a condition of his loving us, but it's a command. What are we going to do with that? So I want to pray for us. Lord Jesus, many times you had few words, but your words go so deep. They're so profound. Your words have a power. Lord, we're in the crowd. Right now, we're in the crowd. You who are weary and heavy laden, as is, whatever you are struggling with, whatever you're carrying, even the burdens that you've just been used to, Jesus says, don't sort it out and then come to me. Come to me and let me give you rest. I don't need to see hands go up. But every heart who's going, Jesus, I'm come to you, I just need a breather. I need for you to become real to me in the middle of what I'm carrying. If that's you, I'm going to pray for us. Lord Jesus, we hear your command to come to you. There's a rest that only you can give. There's a rest that has a power that transforms. We don't even know what it's going to be like. We're tired of trying to manage our life and fix our life. We take our life, we drag it as is to you. Would you give us rest? Just whisper to Jesus, I want that rest. Now, Lord, and our hearts resonate with your command to take your yoke upon us, to learn from you, to make you our rabbi, where your ways we recognize as having authority over our best ways. Lord, first forgive us when we mixed and matched our yokes. Just forgive us. But Lord, we want to choose to take your yoke upon us and learn from you. We know it'll cut against us, but we know that when there's a conflict between our very best ideas or what we're used to and what you say, we're willing to yield. We're willing to let you transform us. Lord, we choose to take your yoke. You're offering it. Thank you for not imposing it. We take your yoke upon us. And as we yield, we know we're going to experience more and more of how you really are. God, would you do this for our sakes? Would you do this for the sakes of the people we say we love? Would you do this for the sake of the people that you're going to entrust to us? And would you do this for the sake of your name that we carry with us wherever we go? Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Manna Church Stafford podcast. If you would like to connect with us, you can find us on the web at mannastafford.church or download the Manna Church app. To listen to our new episodes as they become available, make sure to subscribe to our podcast. We would also love to meet you in person. If you are local, our services take place each Sunday at 10 a.m. We pray you have a blessed week, and we will see you next time.